This is the son of PCJ.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It's very nice to have you with us once again for another program of The Happy Station. Today's show is not going to be exactly happy. That's because the show that was originally scheduled to be broadcast this week has been moved to a later date. The reason for that is because of some very sad news that I received this past Wednesday. And that was the passing of a friend, a colleague, and someone I remembered listening to many, many years ago on Belgian Radio International, David Monson. David Monson, I just found out this week from his son, from his second marriage, passed away last March. He was cycling in Germany, and he had a heart attack and passed away. Now you're saying to yourself, why didn't you find out sooner? David was a little bit of an enigma. David and I met here in Taiwan, where he had spent a number of years. And then in 2010, he moved to Germany. David was the type you can write an email to. He could go months. It could go months and months before he would respond. Sometimes he'd respond quickly. Sometimes it would take a long time. So when I hadn't heard from him in over a year, that really didn't surprise me. But I had heard from his son this week, who said, I just found some recordings that you had uploaded on the PCJ website of my father, David Monson, and that David passed away in Germany. On this edition of Happy Station, we're going to look back at this amazing man who left behind some fantastic recorded material. David also co-hosted with me in December 2009 a special live two-hour edition of Happy Station that was broadcast to North America and Central America. We'll take a listen to a clip from that, as well as other things as well. We are going to begin, however, with a song called Every Time We Say Goodbye, Lena Horne.
Every time we say goodbye, I die a little. Every time I wonder why a little, why the gods above me, who must be in the know, when you're near. There's such an air of spring about it. I can hear a lark somewhere begin to sing about it. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change from major to minor. Every time we say
Every Time We Say Goodbye, Lena Horne. Before David ended up at Brussels Calling, he worked in South Africa and hosted a program for the SABC. There was The World at 7 p.m., and he also did a nightly classical music show. Here's a couple of clips and a few minutes of the news magazine show that he did, and then the classical music show. And you'll understand why David had a very special style when it came to presenting programs.
News, views, and counterviews in Thursday at 8.
Good evening from me, David Munson, and welcome to yet another Thursday at 8. In this edition, we'll be hearing about devastating winter weather in the United States, about the theft of priceless exhibits in the collection at the Alte Feste, and later we'll be talking to the cultural historian responsible for textiles about the museum's collection of costume. Winston Lawden will report on the rumbling that could just become a roar as Mount Etna threatens to blow its top again. And we'll hear about the makings of a volcano. I'll also be chatting to a recent visitor to Southwest Africa, Namibia, none other than the BBC's David Attenborough, filming in the Namib for his new natural history series, scheduled for television screening in 1984. All that in Thursday at 8, so stay put.
David was a very versatile announcer, especially at the SABC, where one minute he had to present serious news, the next minute read some jingles, the next minute do a light game show, and then his favorite subject of all, classical music, where he presented a 2-hour nightly classical music program.
Last week, I just took your familiarity with that short piano work for granted, one which somehow just never gets stale for me, even although I slogged through it in piano lessons 25 years ago now. Brahms's Waltz in A-flat. The musical key of A-flat, that is. Though, if it sets you off doing the rail thing, I'll be the last one to mind, just provided you don't send me the bills for the broken china. A little later on today, I've got another work by Brahms to play too in the program. Not exactly light classical music, but a magnificent piece of oratorio that somewhere in the course of the program I'll find a suitable place to slot in. It just seems, though, that somehow today there's a definite tendency in my selection towards the waltz, the march, and the dance. And then, on the other hand, a strain of devotion, meditation. And that seems to me, in retrospect, a rather natural thing. After all, doesn't life kind of oscillate between the two? Between merriment and moments of meditation. So, let's do it in that order, should we? On the wings of a, well, both a song and a march, all at the same time.
A clip of the classical music program that David Monson did for the SABC. David was a... well, not a classical music fan. I think a better term would be fanatic. Many times while he was living here in Taipei and we'd meet up on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon for a cup of coffee, he would say to me, "By the way, did you hear that fantastic recording? It's absolutely fantastic!" And he would talk about it at length. And I realized his love for classical music more so when I asked him to join me on a special two-hour edition of Happy Station broadcast on December 31st, 2009, for North America and Central America. And I said, "David, bring along some of your favorite pieces of music." Well, he brought along classical music.
Well, Keith, this is really much, very much a trip down memory lane, you know, this morning for me. My word, you know, I'm from South Africa, of course, you know, and the older you get, you seem to live more in the past than in the present sometimes, you know. I mean, it's about 150 years ago. And listening to Neil, of course, brings back so many memories.
When was the last time you were in South Africa?
I guess it was probably about 11 years ago, yes. My son is now 11. He was 10 months old, so it was just one decade ago.
Right. Well, you know... I should mention, because we didn't mention it before, why is David here? Well, David is actually co-hosting the special edition of Happy Station for the first 120-minute edition. And by the way, coming up today at 16 hours UTC will be another edition of the show, but I will be getting on a plane about 3 hours after we do this show, flying to Hong Kong, and I'll be doing the show from RTHK in Hong Kong. So the two shows for December 31st are live. And David brought along some music today, and you are a classical music, I would say, fanatic. Would that be an okay word?
Well, maybe, yes, that's all right. I mean, it does say I'm especially knowledgeable about the subject, you know, but I do love classical music, yes. So you want me to introduce, let's see, a couple of works. I was going to say numbers today. Well, I thought we'd begin at the beginning. I mean, the beginning for me, classical music, it begins with Bach. Actually, it goes back a little further than Bach. But I want to play you, I'd like you, Keith, to put on the turntable. That's how we used to say it in the old days, remember? The good old turntable. It just goes to show, you know, what a fuddy-duddy I am. Anyhow, I want to play you one of Bach's six suites. Not the entire thing, just a movement from one of Bach's first suites. The very first, in fact. You know, just a word about Bach. I think it always makes a difference if you know just a little bit of background, you know, about what you're listening to. If you know anything about Bach, I'm sure there are many, many people who do, listening to the program today. He was so many things. A true polymath in some ways. Well, he was a violinist to begin with, a composer, he was an organist, and of course latterly he was a kapellmeister at Curtin, a choir master, and also latterly in Leipzig, where of course he died. Now, this is an incredibly demanding work. The six suites are incredibly demanding works to play on the cello, and they were composed for a friend of his, a very close friend of his, an excellent cello player himself, a guy called Ferdinand Christian Abel. I didn't know him, nor did you, I guess. Anyhow, that was back in 1720. 1720. By 1720, 1721. And the incredible thing, Bach infuses an amazing wealth of color and technical and compositional brilliance and character to these works. And it's music that, to my mind, seems to reach beyond time and eternity itself. It's simply sublime. And in a moment, you listen to it. I just want to say that the soloist is none other than the great Dutch Baroque cellist, Anna Bylsma. That doesn't say he's Baroque himself. He plays a Baroque cello, right? He's called, in fact, Anna Bylsma, he's called the Rostropovich of the Baroque cello. And at least that's the way the Boston Globe described him. So, and really, there's a touch of genius about everything he does. With this movement from the first suite, I'm going to play the third one. It's the Courante. The Courante, right? All right. Thank you, Keith. Fine, you can set it spinning.
That was a two-hour show that I certainly will not forget anytime soon. The 2 hours just flew by. Not long after that, I said, David, you know what? You came on the show, but we really didn't talk about your radio career, how you ended up at Belgian Radio International. So I headed to his house in the mountains. We sat down in his courtyard, and this is what we talked about.
But how did I get to Belgian Radio? Well, that is a long story. Well, once again, more by chance than anything else. I mean, I took a trip to... I was about to take a slow trip to, China, I suppose, even at that stage. And, Europe was just over there, over the channel in those days. And I went to Germany, where I thought I might have had some connections, some contacts with Germany from when I worked... Not many people realize this, but I did work for a short time for the old South African Broadcasting Corporation. And I ended up, why don't I can say it, heavens alive, there's nothing to lose now, is there? Like a job at, the old Dagestan Radio and Smelly Visi, television, sorry, right? And very, 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 very much by chance. I was just telling my son that the other day. He asked me the same question, Ali did. How did you end up in Belgium of all godforsaken places? Actually, I've got a lot of good things to say about Belgium, too.
Yeah, but we're talking about Belgian radio here.
Belgian radio, you're talking about Belgian radio. Well, not many good things to say about them, but no, the fact is, it did give me a breakthrough in Europe. And Belgian radio, I went to Germany, and I got sidetracked in Germany somehow. I met a guy that said he'd worked for Belgian radio, and never told this story before, and said, hey, David, it might be, why don't we, since you're looking for a place to stay tonight, why don't we shack up together? I was young and innocent, and it didn't occur to me that, maybe he wanted to, take my purse or whatever. But he disappeared, completely disappeared, and it only cost me 50% of what I should have paid for the room or the hotel. And very nice of him, he footed up the bill, he'd paid the following morning. I went out, never saw this guy again, but he had told me in the couple of hours that I spoke to him that, there was possibly a chance of a job in Belgium on the radio job. So I doubled back to Belgium in the middle of the night, stepped on the station, and good Lord, this is an awful long time ago, isn't it? And called them the following morning and had an interview, and because I spoke Dutch, all the South African former Dutch, not very well understood most other places, but I understand it still is in Patagonia of all places, can you believe, they speak Dutch or Afrikaans. But I spoke the lingo, and they seemed to be impressed, and they said, well, listen, there might just be a place for you at Belgian Radio, but
don't call us, we'll call you. Well, I mean, that's just, you know, you...
That's a standard line that you hear,
standard
yeah.
Standard line, and I thought, you know, I'll just go back to... I went back to Britain, London, where I was at that particular time resident, and thoroughly enjoying myself. There was absolutely no reason for my really to leave London. But I wanted to get back into broadcasting, which I'd done in Africa at a very young age, and I'd travelled. I'd been invited even at the age of 19 when I kicked off in broadcasting. I was invited on a extended trip to Europe by an international airline, name shall be nameless. It wasn't South African Airways, I thought, heavens alive, this is an opportunity I can't miss. So when the call did come, they called me, amazing enough, and that's how I came to be working for Belgian Radio at that time.
So when you started at Belgian Radio, what kind of things did they have you doing? Were you just a regular features producer and just reading news every now and again, or did they say, oh, we want you to take over this show?
There was no newscast at that particular time. It was a program, tippity program about 10 minutes long called Brussels Calling, I think.
So it was 10 minutes?
Only 10 minutes, yes, when I joined them. And I had a wonderful colleague, a lady which some of the shortwave listeners might well remember, Jackie Marshall. She used to call herself Jackie Marshall. She's still going strong, my heavens. She's in her mid-80s now, and she's still a wonderful friend of mine. Her daughter, who is just about my age, or perhaps just 1 year older, we saw just a couple of months ago in Europe, and I was very happy to be able, a couple of years ago, to meet up with Jackie again, who lives out in the country, and hopefully when I'm next in Europe, heavens knows when that will be, I will have the opportunity to see her again. But the fact is, they did. I mean, I co-produced this 10-minute program, which I edited as well, and it was basically just an interview a day, a subject a day kind of thing, which we slowly expanded or gradually expanded over a year or a couple of years that I was, those initial years, we expanded into eventually a 20-minute program and then a half-an-hour program, a 30-minute program. I don't think it ever really got any longer than that, you know. Certainly not by the time I left. Maybe it did when it eventually became Radio Flanderen, right, I think, because I lost touch altogether.
But the thing that was interesting about it, when I've listened to some old recordings of Brussels Calling, it is very different from what a lot of other European shortwave broadcasters were doing at the time. I mean, well, especially probably because of your personality as well. I mean, it didn't sound, let's say, as stiff as Deutsche Welle or as, you know, stuff shirt, you know, suit and tie BBC.
Well, do I look, you know, stuffed shirt BBC or Deutsche Welle or what? No. That wasn't intentional. I used to listen to some of these stations, you know, and I appreciated the content. It was just something that evolved, I suppose, the spontaneousness, the spontaneity of the program, I suppose. I'm just about as human as you are, Keith, and I think you're doing much the same thing with Happy Stations. It's a lot of improvisation, and I guess that's the sort of person I am. So very quickly I realized that, almost intuitively, that, you know, people don't want to, or listeners don't want to sit out there listening to stuffed shirts, and whether it's the BBC, Deutsche Welle, or any one or the other, you know, then official government-run or sponsored radio stations. So it turned into a very informal, as you know, if you listen to it, very informal program. And I was very happy to eventually come around to producing or to every day or presenting the mailbag program. Because this really brought me into mailbag, which was then just simple mailbag, you know, it's merely sending off QSL cards, I think you call them, right, to DX listeners around the world, and just responding to a letter. But it became more than that. It became almost an interactive as you could be in those days, you know.
So when you were doing the show for Belgian Radio, how much of a free hand did you have? Or was there a lot of pressure from management to say, oh, David, you know, tone it down. You know, this is Belgium. We're Belgian Radio International. Try to make it sound more official. Was this kind of pressure on you?
Well, it's amazing that you asked me that question, because there was one. I can say it all now, heavens alive. I mean, I'm not likely to lose my job at Belgian Radio any longer, because I did, simply because of what you say. I mean, yes, it was very, it did become very bureaucratic. It wasn't at the beginning. I mean, or was it? No, it was. I mean, we had people who were shunted into positions like you've worked for some of these stations, heavens alive, you know how it is. And I don't wish to sound, you know, kind of not sour grapes or vindictive or anything like that, because I'm not, quite obviously. I would have wished it to have been otherwise, but it was just a lack of imagination. You know, people just didn't have the imagination that it took, I think, to produce a shortwave radio program, because shortwave radio programs were just always, it seemed to me, stereotypically formal government kind of propaganda type, if you don't mind me saying that, you know, programs. And, you know, they were dry and deadwood a lot of times, simply because they were being managed by deadwood. I'm, you know, pity to say that, but it's a fact, isn't it? And officials, you know, so I just wanted it to sound something different. And I found that there was this almost immediate response from listeners to a more informal, spontaneous, and human approach. It's not to say that I was anti, you know, DXs or anything like that, because there were many DXs who responded in exactly the same way. There were also many, probably a lot of DXs who, in the final analysis, because we tried something different also in terms of arranging a convention back in 1980, the year the wall came down in Berlin?
1989.
Was it 1989? That's right. Did I have a show? Yes, we did. That's right. That was my last big event at the World Congress. What was it? The World Convention Center. International Convention Center, the ICC in Berlin.
But you know, you were saying that, you know, Belgian radio became very bureaucratic, and they were putting pressure on you to, you know, to become more serious and all that. But didn't they realize that people were tuning in for a reason, or was that just not important to them?
I don't think they cared. Like many, they really didn't care. I can say that now, and I wish I was back there still working, you know, in the interest of Belgium, because it's you know, I love so many of, there's so many. It's so much part of me. I mean, I spent so much time there, and I went to Belgium, quite honestly, and fell in love with the Flemish provinces, not for the reason many people do. When I tell people why I stayed and why I fell in love with the place, they kind of, you know, they kind of gasp. It was the light. It was the air. It was something ethereal about the place, the Flemish countryside, the mirage of the Flemish countryside. It's a very special atmosphere. You've been there, I know, haven't you? Yes. You lived in Holland for a while. We've been there. It was a countryside, a platterland, flat country, with that shimmering sunlight over it, you know, the mist that inspired great music, piano compositions. You know, that's another one of my interests, classical music, inspired compositions by composers like Ravel, for instance. So yeah, one of the reasons why I went there, and it sounds like a very obscure and perhaps rather offbeat reason for settling in a place, but that was certainly one of them. And, you know, apart from the fact that I also, in other ways, I became kind of romantically, in more ways than one, kind of enmeshed in the place. And I loved what I was doing. I loved what I was doing at the radio. And I really genuinely loved the interaction with the listeners around the world, which there was. It was really little. So, but yes, the bureaucracy you talk about, of course, it was ever present.
The third movement from Symphony No. 104 by Haydn, the Minuet. You're listening to The Happy Station Show, and we're talking a little bit today about David Monson, who I recently found out passed away in Germany. I don't have any other details yet on what happened, but we will tell you about them on a future edition of Media Network Plus, so stay tuned for that. Just a moment ago, you heard an interview that we did with David over a year ago. We will be uploading the full, unedited version of that interview very soon at the PCJ website at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll be able to find that and other radio-related work to David in the Radio Archives section of our website. David, for a number of years, hosted Brussels Calling on Belgian Radio International. He was the kind of person that can go into a studio, no script, and make something come alive, any subject at all, and it would come alive in an instant. During the time of doing Brussels Calling, he also was able to travel throughout Belgium doing live broadcasts. The one that we're going to take a listen to next was one that was released on an album that he had put out in the 1980s. This is probably the most famous work, the most single famous piece that he ever did at Belgian Radio International.
Clyde Silcock, Private, 363rd Infantry, 91st Division, Ohio, October the 31st, 1918. Roy Whitney, Private, 361st Infantry, 91st Division, Montana, November the 3rd, 1918. Henry J. Hesterman, Private, 363rd Infantry, 91st Division, Idaho, November the 2nd, 1918. Michelle Chimianti, Private, 316 Engineers, 91st Division, Washington, November the 1st, 1918. I'm standing where others lie. Many thousands of young men, many younger than myself when they fell, in what they said would be the war to end all wars. I'm standing in Flanders Fields. Many of you know the poem that was written by a Canadian airman who was himself to become a victim of the Holocaust. I'm David Monson, for many of you that don't know the program, and in introducing our program live out of the city of Kortrijk in the province of West Flanders this evening, I'd like you, the listener, wherever you may be in the world this evening, to pause with me just a while, just a few moments, in this American military cemetery, the American military cemetery of Flanders Fields. In fact, this is the smallest of the American military cemeteries on the European continent, where some 368 American soldiers lie. 368 American soldiers who lie in this cemetery at Waregem. And 368 of the many hundreds of thousands of young men from around the world who lost their lives fighting in one of the two world wars. There were many, in fact 102,000 of soldiers, fighting men, who had no known grave. And their names are inscribed, are written up, all over the inner walls of the Menin Gate at Ypres, the famous wipers of the First World War. It's a beautiful day, a peaceful one here in the Flanders Field Military Cemetery. Among the row after row of simple headstones bearing the name, rank, unit, and date of death of the soldier lying below. His regimental crest, symbol of faith, and in some cases a personal inscription chosen by the next of kin. Officers and men lie side by side as they fought in life here in Flanders Fields. As they fought in the Ypres Salient, the name given early in the First World War to the curving battle front around Ypres. There were others, other salients, but none as important as Ypres, either for forces engaged or vital positions to be contested. Peaceful, I said. That is, it's so quiet, you could perhaps even hear butterfly in flights. Birds twitter among rows of graves where dropped crumbs from a gardener's sandwich provide a ready meal. Nature is at its best, at its serenest, its greenest, its most fertile. It's hard to imagine, in fact, or is it, really, the sounds of rifle fire, of mortars, cannon, and the cries of death that echoed across the selfsame fields not so long ago. Hard to imagine the mud and the slush and the cold and the stench of crowded trenches. Long days and months and years away from mums and dads, brothers, if they weren't all fighting in the same trenches, away from sisters, wives, lovers, who they would, in many cases, never see again, because they were to die here and to lie here in Flanders. It's not so long ago, really, just a mere 60-odd years, less than a lifetime since the First World War, a little over 30 since the Second. And yet, people do forget, and younger generations are not always taught to remember the debt they owe to those that fought and fell in the two world wars and that lie here in the Flemish provinces. Why should we only officially remember them on November the 11th? For this reason, I'd like to dedicate my two broadcasts from Kortrijk in the province of West Flanders. I'd like to dedicate this program to the men of two world wars who fought and died in Flanders. Men who came from the many corners of the globe in which this program is probably being listened to this evening. We salute their memory.
Thank you.
Elton John, Circle of Life, and before that, an excerpt of Brussels Calling with David Monson. You can find more excerpts of Brussels Calling at the PCJ website. We will notify you exactly the special link that we'll set up for it. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com, follow us on Twitter or Facebook to find out the latest information about the David Monson page that we will set up very soon. You're listening to Happy Station, and today's show, of course, has been a bit of a subdued mood compared to past programs, but I thought it was very important to share with you my own personal memories of David, who, like I said, was an enigma. I had found out from Bob Zanotti and Jeff White that David Monson had been living here for a number of years, so I contacted him up, and we met up, and we hung out ever since that first time, until he moved to Germany. And we used to get into really interesting and very intellectual conversations, which you can always guarantee with David. It was really a lot of fun, and I'm certainly going to miss him. Well, we still do have time for one more piece of music. Here's Johnny Clegg and Savuka with Mandela.
Hasim Bonanga, Hasim Bonango Mandela Jina Lape. La pefeli kona hasim bonango Mandela tina la pe kona la pefeli kona.
Lasiako, Lasiako, Hasim Bonanga.
Johnny Clegg and Savuka, ending this edition of Happy Station. Once again, if you wish to listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, just visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Just a quick few program notes. This week on Media Network Plus, we have a special program looking at Radio Free Asia. You can find out all the broadcast times on WRN as well as through our partner stations at our website. Just click on the link for Media Network Plus. Anyway, we are now officially out of time. So, on behalf of everyone that helped put together this program, I'm Keith Perron in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.